Well, good morning, everybody. It is a beautiful day to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Appreciate everybody online as well. For those online, just a heads up, there's a global outage that's causing some internet issues right now. If you need to go to the YouTube channel, if Facebook kind of could be hit and miss on some occasions, so if you want to go over to the YouTube channel, you probably get possibly get a little better quality there if you're having issues on Facebook. So just know that there's some internet issues going on in the world right now. So that's one. The second announcement I have is this. So last week I talked about the mobile food pantry that we're going to be doing on Friday, September 18th, right, Julie? Did I get that right this time? That I got it. Yeah, I did. Friday, September 18th. I got it wrong last week. We're going to have a mobile food pantry. Initially, we thought that was going to be here in the parking lot of the church. After some discussions that David Birdsong and I had yesterday with Chief Parker here in town, we went and met with him. We think that maybe another location is, or this is Friday rather, a better location can be had. So we're working through that. That should come out the next day or two. We got some emails going out. Don't quote me on this. Don't do it yet. It probably will be at the park, but we just got to get permission for it first. So that's going to be coming. Keep your ears tuned for that, and we'll have a whole lot more information. The reason we're going to move it is we expect a huge turnout, more than our corner out here can handle. So just know that that's coming. And then the third thing is, if you've got prayer requests online, if you have any that you want to submit, make sure you start sending them in now so that we can have them ready to go for prayer time here in just a few minutes. So those are sort of the announcements that we have right now. We got some books in, by the way, for our Angel Tree for Christmas for our friends on the streets. But if you have more novels, more books like that, bring them in. We can always use more. We'll make sure people get plenty. They have some things to read as well. So is there anything else going on in the life of the church that we need to talk about? Anything that we need to discuss? Jackie, you good with everything right now with outreach? Good, 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 good. Well, if there's not, if you'd please stand for our call to worship. It comes from Romans 12, 9 through 16. A little bit different. It's not so much about, we'll read it. I like this one. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we use this scripture to call ourselves into worship because we know that not only what we do in this next 45 minutes or so is worship, but literally every single thing that we do is worshipful. When we go into the world and we live some with other people so that we are giving them more and more and more honor, outdoing one another with honor, we know that we're living in your way. When we give hospitality to the stranger, when we love others as much as we love ourselves, we know that what we are doing in that moment is allowing God's will to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And we're showing you exactly how much we want it to be that way. Lord, we're worshiping you in those moments. And so as we sit here in worship, it's easy to do those things with one another. It's easy to give one another honor and talk to one another and build each other up in this room. And we just ask, Lord, for the strength, for the fortitude to go out into the world and live that exact same way with everybody we meet. And we know when we do that, that we will be worshiping you through our actions. We ask these things, Lord, because this is how we want to do it. We want to live in your will no matter what. And we praise you as we do it. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a chance to come together as a church. We thank you for the technology that binds us together, whether it be live or recorded, whatever it is. We thank you, God, that we can come together in these ways. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And if our musicians would lead us in our first song, we will worship the music. Thank you all so much. Almighty Father,
fortress is our God. A bulwark never fading. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient home doth seek to work us woe. His love and power are great, and one with whom will meet. On earth there is no equal, but one above all earthly powers. No thanks to them abide love, the Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Amen.
James, brother, that sounds a whole lot better you singing it than when I sing it. Thank you so much, my friend. Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. We have some prayer requests that have come in online. Amy Bryan is praying for Regina Baker, who has a mass on her lung, and also Karen in the passing of her mother. Tammy Judkins is praying for Judy Judkins and Jackie Bullard. Are there others this morning that we need to be in prayer for? Are there others that need to be? Yeah, Suzanne. Continuing to pray for Cynthia Lucas, a co-worker of Suzanne's. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for? Yes.
Jackie.
Who's that?
Jamie.
Jamie?
Yeah, my niece.
Okay. Your niece has COVID.
But everybody else checked, they're maintaining.
Good. So the rest of the household's good. But your cousin Jamie, yes. Are there others that need to be on our prayer list this morning? Now, there's some unspoken prayer requests. I know good and well they are this morning. I want to announce a couple of more that people know. Jennifer Baxley, she's got a praise report. You know, she had some issues with housing recently and trying to find she got a new apartment. So she found out Friday she'll be moving and thrilled to death about that. So happy. But she also has a couple of Ron and Amy. Do you all maybe remember a Ron and Amy that used to go in here? Had a Josh. Amy and her son Josh moved to New York, I understand. He has double pneumonia and is in the hospital. They're testing him for COVID. And then Matthew, an 11-year-old, has tested positive for COVID that she wanted me to mention as well. And so we have several people this morning that we know are dealing with that. Are there any others before we go to God in prayer? Yes, ma'am. They're back in school, yeah, in the building starting Monday, right?
Yes.
Yep, yeah, everybody's back in school in the Williamson County Schools. We need to be in prayer for them. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Dinah Stout's sister is, I understand, in the hospital, and we need to be in prayer for her. Yes, sir. Brian, it's McCombs, right? Son-in-law Brian McCombs is having some issue and needs to have prayer. Absolutely. I'm sorry? Give me a prayer for Timmy as he's finding out kind of his path right now. Absolutely. Be in prayer for Timmy. Are there others this morning? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we lift up these names to you of Cynthia and Jamie in Williamson County Schools and their returning, of Diana's sister, Brian McCombs, of Timmy, Judy, and Jackie Bullard, and Regina Baker and Karen, we know that all of these things in their lives really require, Lord, your presence right now. We thank you, God, that your presence is required, because we know that difficult times do show up, difficult times do arise, and knowing that you are there for us is a comfort and a strength, and it sends us on in this world. We thank you, God, that we can turn to you for these things. But Lord, the ironic part of it is the heaviest things in our heart are the ones we can't turn to you on. Or maybe we can, it's so hard to let out, Lord. And so those things in our lives too, we just ask for your presence. We don't know what fixing it looks like. We don't know what resolving it looks like, but we know your presence is good and right. And so for all of those situations, these that we can lift up and those that scare us death to say, we just ask God for your presence in these situations. We ask for your presence to just exist. We ask for these things because we can't imagine anything better than what would occur if your will be done. And so, Lord, we pray that prayer through the one that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to thank all those who are sending in prayer requests, and I didn't mention it this time, and our gifts as well. We've been able to use those to great good recently and are continue doing so through the mobile food pantry. So thank you so much for continuing the ministry of the church for all those online who are contributing as well. Thank you so much. I want to read again this morning from Luke. It's 11, 1 through 14. We are certainly familiar with this one. He was praying in a certain place. That's Jesus, obviously. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Truth is that I don't know what to say about today. I feel as if preaching these days, if the preacher is willing to deal with current events, is sort of like walking through a minefield. It doesn't take but one misstep, and you blow yourself up and everybody else around you. I'm telling you, you go write a sermon in the midst of COVID, masks, Jacob Blake, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Kyle Rittenhouse, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. You go write a sermon in the midst of that. The faith is an absolute minefield these days. And I'm not asking for sympathy. I think it's actually an interesting challenge, but it's not safe to navigate these waters. There's a lot of emotion involved. I'm just telling you that this is the way the world is as we have created it. And so honestly, I have no idea what really to say today. I don't have much of an answer. I have feelings. So instead, I'm going to talk about the okra in my garden, if that's okay. I think I'll just talk about my okra instead. Because okra doesn't make anybody mad. Unless, of course, you have to go pick it, then you get ticked off because it itches. I've got two rows of okra in my garden. It runs along the back side of one side, and it makes a turn and runs the back side of the other side. And it's so pretty, man. I love okra. It's tall and gangly like me. It's funny looking, so I like it. I cut the leaves off of mine. All but the very top leaves. You know, okra doesn't need all those other leaves to grow. I don't know if you know it or not. So every time I go out and pick it, even before it starts producing, I start cutting those leaves off the bottom. I trim most of the leaves off. They look silly with just the leaves on the top, but I don't care. Looks like a Q-tip. What cutting leaves off is makes the okra to grow tall. I got okra plants right now, I swear to you, that are 8 feet tall. I can barely reach the top of them. And they just tower over my garden. Frames, it's so pretty. I like looking at it. I look at it, and I think it's so beautiful. This year, my garden had zucchini in it. It had It had beans in it. Lord, we had more green beans, didn't we, Suzanne? We had so many green beans. We were eating green beans all summer long. I can't tell you how many we had. It's been a good year. I didn't have much squash. I don't know what happened with my squash. Something happened with it. I don't know. But I had a bunch of tomatoes. I had little red cherry tomatoes. And then I don't know if you've ever had these or not, the lemon drop tomatoes, the yellow ones. Have you seen these? We had a blue million of those things. Man, I ate them all. We pile them up in a bowl in the kitchen, and then be the red and the yellow all kind of there together. And when I'd fix a pizza, I'd take some of those tomatoes and put it on the pizza, stick it back in the oven after. Oh, my goodness. I grew some peppers, too, serrano peppers. They went nuts. I bet I had 100 peppers off that one plant, maybe more. I like putting hot peppers on my grilled cheese. That's amazing. Don't do that if you don't like hot peppers. But it's the okra that really did the trick. That's what people look at as soon as they see my garden. Everybody, like, man, look at that okra. I tell you what, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but there are not many things better in this life than eating an okra pod right off the plant. I don't know if you know that or not. Suzanne didn't believe. You don't have to like bake it or fry it or boil it or anything. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Fresh right off the plant. So Suzanne and I were out there a month ago maybe, and she was picking the beans because that doesn't make her itch. And I was picking the okra, and she wasn't looking, so I snuck a couple of bites off a couple of different pods, and I didn't tell her. And finally, I was like, man, you need to eat one of these pods. And she looked at me like I was an idiot, which is a fair assumption part of the time, but not this time. I was like, no, really, it's good. And she thought I was fooling her. And finally, she realized I was serious. And I was like, no, eat this, okra. And so she started to nibble off the end. And I was like, no, eat the whole thing. Not the, end of it, but the rest of it. And I said, she looked at me. Her eyes got wide. And I was like, right, isn't that good? That's okra. I can make my daily bread out of okra. I got to admit, though, I hadn't gone out to the garden to pick okra in about a week. You're supposed to pick it every single day, right? Or every other day. And y'all who've grown okra, don't judge me because you've done the same thing. You've forgotten all week long to go out there, and the okra got about 12 inches long, right? And it's not worth it. Actually, it is worth something. Bring it over. I'll throw it out in the yard. Petey likes to gnaw on the okra that's too big. He doesn't eat it. He just gnaws on it. But when it gets that big, it's not fit to eat. And after it's sitting there that long without me picking it up, when I do get around to it, there won't be anything good. They aren't good. It can't be my daily bread. And I can't even give it away now. I can't eat it or anything, I looked out the window when I was writing this, and I could see the okra. It was such a mess. It was awful. I could see some tomatoes out there, too. It was the last of the season, just hanging on the withering vine. And you know the worst part? This is the embarrassing part of the whole thing. I was eating candy while I was looking at it. Right? There was some candy in the jar in the kitchen, and I knew it was there, and I was writing my sermon, and I felt hungry, and I figured, man, I need a second to think about this whole world, and maybe candy will give me inspiration. So I went in the kitchen, and I couldn't figure out what to say, but there was a candy jar right there, so I opened it up, and I unwrapped it, and then I turned to look out the window at the okra and the tomatoes, and I ate my junk food instead. That's so silly, isn't it? I could have walked out there to my daily bread and had okra. Man, it would have been the best had I done that. I could have been out there the whole time. I could have been out there just a few minutes a day and I could have kept my okra up the whole time, but I didn't do any of that. I went and I ate junk food instead. It was easier, I guess. It's easier to eat junk food than walk outside and go take care of okra or tomatoes. Maybe some of those green beans would have been good. There, maybe I could even spice it up with some peppers, but no, I just ate junk food. I love a garden, though. Boy, I do. Y'all like a garden? I love a garden. I see God in it. There's something in the life of it and in the dirt of it and the sun and the rain. And we've eaten a whole bunch of it this year, man. Lots of good stuff. It's healthy. I haven't eaten meat since February, Ash Wednesday. It's been nothing but fish and veggies and fruit for 6 months. And I don't say that because I think you should or shouldn't eat meat. We got some frozen chicken in the freezer. It's going to be hot chicken before long, so don't think I'm judging anybody. But I quit eating meat for Lent, and I lost some weight because of it, and I figured I needed to lose that weight, so I just kept going, whatever. But as a result of that, eating from the garden some days was truly kind of daily bread kind of stuff. I felt a connection to the ground, and I realized, man, that God really does give us daily bread. I watched it grow up, that daily bread. It's amazing to me that all I did was put a seed in the ground. I watered it a little bit. I didn't have to water it much because the rain did that. Sun shined, and first a little sprout popped up, and that was a relief. You always worry if that's going to happen. And And then it started growing up a little bit. Then overnight it shot up, and then it started budding. And before long, daily bread. God did that. Creation. Earth did that. That's what God does. You know, you can find daily bread in the grocery store. We got all the bread there we want. Probably too much. We got too much in our freezer. I know that. If you don't thank God for what's there, and if you're not prepared to give every bit of it away, then maybe we forget it's God's daily bread anyway. Storing up daily bread made things rot, if I remember Exodus right. But that being said, God provides, man. God provides for all of creation if we make sure that we're sharing it and doing our part and not disregarding people. We got to share. We learned that in kindergarten. We know that. But if we do, man, daily bread is there. I think that daily bread, by the way, is more than just bread, too. Look, that's in part of interpreting this prayer, is that it meant one thing to one group, but it can mean something else to other groups. Those people in Jesus' day, they were wondering where their next meal was going to come from all the time. That's how life was 2,000 years ago. One good famine, dude, and you're shot. So the people that Jesus spoke to knew what it meant to be hungry and what daily bread would bring them. They knew what it meant to need bread and how God provided that bread, even if it was manna in the desert. So it did mean bread to them, probably. Pure and simple, that's probably what Jesus meant to them. But more than that, the daily bread gives us everything we need to live a life. Not just live, but live a life. The daily bread is everything that we need to survive, everything to flourish in this beautiful garden that God has grown. God provides us an identity. We are human. We are God's children. Don't we need an identity? And we have one. You're God's child and everybody else is too. God gives us a standing morally so we know how to treat all of God's creation, all those people that share a seat at the table. We've been taught how to live in that, and we need that, man. We need it to live. God provides us a purpose, right? Live life loving everybody else as much as you love yourself. That's a purpose. That's what God provides. God gives love and joy and peace. And how, my gosh, how long am I going to use that same scripture? It's just so good. I'm going to keep saying it over and over, I guess. God gives us everything we need to live a life as long as we feed on the foods that have been given to us. The okra, the manna, the daily bread that God always gives. And yet there I was, standing in my kitchen, eating junk food, and looking outside at a perfectly good garden, making myself unhealthy, hiding inside my walls, not venturing out of what I knew, what I could hold in my hands, and just eating junk food instead, and dying on the inside because I'm eating the wrong stuff, you know? Church, there's a lot of junk food going around these days. There's a lot of junk food that's being peddled, eaten, and regurgitated. It seems like there's a steady diet of junk food these days, and not only that, but we're having food fights with it too. Lots of arguing, lots of slinging, lots of throwing junk food around. We're arguing over masks, y'all. Honest to God, that's something I didn't anticipate at any point in my life that I'd argue with anybody about. I don't wear one in this pulpit because I'm 30 feet away from everybody and my glasses fog up and I can't see the sermon. I hope that's all right. I've worried about the optics of me not wearing a mask up here. Maybe I should. I don't know. The reason I wear one everywhere else is I'd rather err on the side of caution. Even if I give up a little freedom or discomfort, if it helps, I'm okay with that. And you know, if some places doesn't require a mask, you know what I can do? Not go. One place has steak, one place has chicken. We choose those without yelling at each other, don't we? Why can't we do that about masks? And yet we yell. I mean, I think we ought to wear a mask, but it's all junk food that goes with it that makes no sense to me, and so we divide up instead. Not in healthy discussion. We argue, vitriol, name call, make up amazing theories that are more complex than just love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Wouldn't that be good if we all just followed that? Junk food. We're arguing over this stuff in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I hope I said that right. We're arguing over that, aren't we? It's the same battle lines being drawn, just the names are different. There's huge stakes. We know that. Huge stakes. It's not just news stories. There's death and paralyzation and jail and regret, and all those are real. It's not just a huge news story. It's huge stakes. But now, because of how we've eaten the junk food from all that, friendships are breaking. Families are busting up. The dinner table is scary, and the pulpit is scary, and the sanctuary is no longer a safe place called a sanctuary. And it's high stakes, because there is a lot at stake. I'm not saying there's not. It's not just that incident. I mean, it is that incident. Look, okay, I'm going to say this one thing. There is something weird going on when a man can get shot in the back out of suspicion, but a 17-year-old carries a rifle, goes to the crowd, gets water, thanks, shoots somebody, walks out, goes home. Those two things got to make you think. But as a society, we're struggling on talking with each other about these things. We've chosen sides, but we've gotten hardened with it. We've gotten rigid. We've chosen what we think is right, and we've gotten set in our identities, and we've set that against the other side's identities. Our side is one, the other side is the other, and we don't dare venture into the gray to where we can talk and converse and listen and eat in the garden together again, rather than eating the junk food and throwing it around every time something happens. I'm not saying we shouldn't take stands. We all know there are problems that need to be fixed. I promise you I stand for some things. I've marched for some things. I take my stands. I try to do what is right for me and my faith. And we all do that. We're all trying to be right by God, or at least we ought to anyway. Everybody in Jenkins is trying, I know. I'm just saying the okra of humility in our culture is all but gone. There is no more love of neighbor, only love of my side, and to hell with the other side. And I promise I don't use that word in the pulpit lightly. I don't know. I don't know if I'm making any sense. I don't know how to describe it any way but how I already have. It's like we're eating junk food and having a food fight with junk food at the same time. I don't doubt the fight. It's the junk food that amplifies the illness. The junk food is no cure. Junk food makes us unhealthy. It causes us all to die when we force feed each other. It diseases us. The world is a pro at selling junk food. They make it shine. You ever seen a candy wrapper? Bright yellows, oranges, silver, lights are turned up real bright so you can see it, right? And you can just walk by and grab it, not even think. You don't even think about it. You just grab it, unwrap it, and start eating. Then there's that rack of granola bars that's tucked around the corner there somewhere where you can't find it. Buy the junk food, the world says. The evil powers of this world will sell what we buy. They make it artificially sweet. Tell us that it's healthy when it's not. And then we're tempted to stand in the kitchen to eat it and stare at the window at the garden. Jason, you're being too vague. You're not saying in concrete terms. All right, then here it is. I heard one time if you put people in a room, turn the lights out so it's pitch dark, throw a rock in, if the very person you hit is going to scream out. So if you don't scream out, ain't nobody going to know I threw a rock. How much time are we spending eating Fox News and MSNBC? How much time are we spend feasting on the news on Facebook where the world's greatest powers are causing us to fight each other using misleading internet memes? How much time do we spend eating junk food in our own little echo chambers? How much time are we spending listening only so that we can regurgitate what we've already said but just make it more vicious this time? How much are we listening to talk radio and feasting on that vitriol? I'm sorry, but I got to say something I believe is faithful. How much time are we spending eating those things compared to how much time are you reading your scriptures? Come on, Christians, let's talk about it. I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to say something about the faith. I'm trying to figure out how to live in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, and here I go again. I'm just trying to figure out how to eat the daily bread of God's will and watch everybody around me eat it too. When I fail, God give me grace that I may repent. And when I do it right, to God be the glory, for great things have been done. Church, how much time are we spending in prayer with those people on the other side of the issue, and how much are we praying that we might see something new so that either we can convince our brother and sister or we can repent, either one? How much time are we spending crying with the other side because we know that the world needs a Christian answer right now, and yet Christians are incapable of standing side by side to give it? It's hard to do with a mouthful of junk food. It's time we all just repent. It's time we repent of the roles we've played in any of this, and time to ask God to show where we've eaten the wrong foods, especially when we don't know it, especially when we don't know it. It's time we go to God together in repentance rather than stand in righteous judgments against our brothers and sisters and wielding blame. It's time we break bread so we can talk and explain and listen. We're not allowed to hold our bread back anymore and tell everybody else they got to go eat junk food. But we've unfollowed people on Facebook, so surely that'll help, right? Look, there's some right and some wrongs in all this. I'm not going to hash it out. We can talk. I promise you we can talk. I invite anyone hearing my voice to join me in conversation for the world we live in. Send me an email. Make a call. Send a text. Let's talk. Now, I do believe we have to remember that Jesus had something to say about how we treat people in the world, especially those who don't have justice. Jesus said that about the least of these. Jason didn't say that. Jesus did, and he talked about it a whole bunch. So it's good to have emotions right now. It's good. Emotions make us human. Jesus had them. He showed them off. I'll never say emotion is bad. I have them over this in spades. But evil is calling us to divide. It's selling us junk food. And it's hardening the arteries of grace and of mercy. And there are powers in this world today that want us that way. We're easier to control when we do that. They want us on their side, and they want us to dehumanize anybody else. And this morning, I make it clear, at least one pastor in this world condemns all this nonsense, because I confess in the name of God that the world's bread is moldy. It's diseased. It's death. It will kill us. It is killing us. It will continue to kill us, and it will give us genocide of the spirit. It's junk food. And we today in this world are devouring it. We're posting about it. We're living our lives by it. Don't eat the junk food. Yes, Jesus is on the side of the least of these. Never miss that. But I saw Jesus go off on a bunch of self-righteous folks too. Pharisees and his own 12. Jesus said, don't eat that junk food. And praise God this morning that we don't have to. We don't have to eat that junk, because I'm praising God this morning that there's something else to eat. There's been a garden created for us. We get to eat from the garden that God planted. It's where the daily bread comes from. It's here. It's everywhere. It exists between us. We meet each other there in the garden to feast together. We are so privileged, y'all, that we have been given a chance to eat in the garden together. People of one faith and one mind, of one accord. No Greek, no Jew, no slave, no free, no male and female. Just Christians. Just Christians who have pledged themselves to the gardener, and we all love others as much as we love ourselves. Jesus said, pray to eat that. Come eat of this fruit. It's the bread of life, and it's ours, given freely, so that we may truly live and live in the world together in love. So church, I pray to my God this morning. I pray to God that instead of this nonsense junk food, we instead trust once again in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth just exactly like it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. It's time for everyone to repent and believe in the good news. No one is excluded from that. May it start with me. May it start with Jenkins Church. May we have the strength to leave the kitchen and go out to the garden, for there is some fantastic okra out there. And God's people said,
when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Lord, is the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the drum shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so,
if your faith is well with your soul, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. Beautiful. A couple of other prayer requests have come in from Mary Floyd. Shelby, her sister, we need to be in prayer for Shelby and for Mary as well. We miss you guys. Paul Ward, we need to be in prayer for. And then Joyce Alamore has asked for prayers for Kim and Rain, for Ron, and for Bradley Alamore. Sixth birthday today. I can't believe that boy is 6 years old. Somebody explain to me how that happened. Time flies, but little Bradley, 6 years old today. So let's go to God again in prayer. Lord, we lift up these names to you that Mary provided, Shelby and Paul. We pray for Mary too, such a wonderful human being, Lord. We pray for Joyce. She's so fantastic in how she cares for the community around her, and for Bradley and Kim and Rain and Ron. We thank you, God, for her submitting those names. And we pray for this whole church that is bound to love of one another. Lord, I've gotten to witness it so much in, 4.5 years. And I thank you, God, that this church has compassion for others. We pray, Lord, for the food giveaway that we're going to be doing. We ask you that you ordain that and make it something just divine so that we can do good in this community. We ask these things, Lord, because we pray to you, because we need you. And we ask, Lord, as we leave from here, that you put us on a diet where we have walked astray of the garden, where we've made paths around it, where we've skipped by it, where we stopped at the store instead. We ask, Lord, that you place us in the midst of the garden. Allow us to be there for a moment. Allow us to see it, to experience it, to eat the fruits of it. And then remind us to carry enough for everybody else around us too, so that we can find a way in this world to share the good food that you provided, the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. And I just do it every time, but I can't help it. Lord, you know how much I love those things. So please, Lord, give that to us in whatever way is right, so that we may share it with the world. And God's people said, amen. It is always good to see your faces. I don't care if it's behind a mask or not. I see your eyes, and that's what matters. It's good to see you all. It's good to see everybody online. A bunch of people joined us today. Thank you all so much. And be hearing more information about our upcoming food pantry. It's going to be wonderful. God bless. Bye-bye.